Sound like it's working?
I think so.
Okay, that's good enough. I want you to turn to Luke chapter 19 this morning. And I want to make a couple of points. And then ask for some participation from you about, I want you to think about what can a little guy do? We're all aware of the fact that we live in a mega church age, and there is churches with radio ministries and a great big gymnasium and vast printing ministries and budgets of millions of dollars, and we're aware the parking lots dwarf the size of shopping malls, and we're meeting at football stadiums, and we got all kinds of mega stuff going on, such that every now and then the little guy loses track of what I'm worth and what can I do. And I'm convinced half the people in those big churches are hiding, and it's keep them from having any individual responsibility before God. In a church this size, you can't hide. I mean, I've been here before. I know you, and I know you, and Brother Dietz and others that, hey, wait a minute, I've dealt with Kyle before, and these young fellows over here, I know, and Bryce has been playing that git fiddle for as long as I've been alive, I think, and that's a good thing. But sometimes we lose track of the fact, because we serve in a church that's not in the mega thing, that, it's just encouraging from time to time to realize about the things that a little guy can do. So what I want you to do is look at me in Luke chapter 19 and verse 12. He said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country. Are we all in the same place? Am I in the right place here? All right. To receive for himself a kingdom and to return, and he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds. I don't know if that's 10 pounds apiece. Or 1 pound apiece to each one of them, but we'll call it 1 pound apiece. And he said to them, occupy till I come. But his citizens hated him and sent a message after him, saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. And it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded his servants to be called unto him to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Then came the first, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. So I take it he received one and had multiplied it 10 times. And he said, and well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in very little, hath thou authority over 10 cities. And a second came, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 5 pounds. That's still a 500% increase. And he said, likewise to him, be thou also of 5 cities. And another came, saying, Lord, behold, here is thy pound, which I have left laid up in a napkin. For I feared thee, because thou art an austere man, that thou takest up that thou laidest not down, and reapest where thou didst not sow. And he saith to him, out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Thou knewest that I was an austere man, taking up that I laid not down, and reaping that I did not sow. Wherefore thou then gavest not thou my money into the bank, that at my coming I might have required my own with usury. And he said unto them that stood by, take from him the pound, and give it to him that hath 10 pounds. And they said unto him, Lord, he hath 10 pounds. For I say unto you, that unto every one which shall be given... and let's start that over. And I say unto you that unto every one which hath shall be given, and from him that hath not, even that he hath shall be taken away from him. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, help us this morning. We desire to encourage these folks, and we'd ask that you'd help. And Lord, we pray that you'd watch over us now. Instead of watching our mouths, we may say those things that are pleasing to thee. And we'll thank you for it in Christ's name. All right, 2 points, and then I want some participation from you. One of the points is, effort expended in just doing no harm is wasted. We must not just stop doing wrong, but commit ourselves to doing right. The guy with the 1 pound that didn't gain anything kept the 1 pound. He maintained the status quo, but he didn't improve anything. He had no desires. He had a desire to escape judgment, not a desire to please the Lord. And if your desire is to escape judgment, then what you're going to do is maintain the status quo. You're going to be more concerned about not doing wrong than you are about doing right. And our society is such, and even the mega church movement is such, that most American Christians think, you know, my best testimony is that I used to be on drugs, and I'm not on drugs anymore. No, that's not your best testimony. My best testimony is that I had an abortion or two before I got saved, and now I'm a fine Christian lady, and God's given me a husband and three children, and I'm rejoicing over that. My best testimony is that I don't get abortions anymore. No, because that's a testimony of not doing wrong. Listen, I can show you lost cigar-sucking Catholics in Green Bay that live that good. They're not doing wrong. They're never going to be on a DUI roster. You're never going to find them arrested for drunk driving, wife beating, any of that kind of stuff. They're not going to do wrong. We got some people in town. Olenicek family, as a for instance, have been behind the Packers for years, have been their legal representative, serving on board of directors and so forth. And every time I meet an Olenicek in town, and I'm now down about three or four generations from where they started, they're fine folks, pillars of the community. Nice people. They live cleaner than some Baptists do. But that's not the standard. Okay? So number one, you got to understand that I need to be interested in advancing the kingdom of God personally. Not just in holding back the kingdom of evil personally. The Lord did come to destroy the works of the devil. Amen? But that does not get you to heaven. Amen, amen. If he didn't provide salvation for you, destroying the works of the devil, then you ain't good. So we're glad to know that the Lord can hold back evil. We're glad to know that we ought to do right. But the other thing is that we ought to make sure that we do something to advance the kingdom. Number two, if the Lord asks you to do something like he asks these people, he's going to provide for it. I got 10 pounds. I got 10 servants. I'm going to give a pound to each one of them. By the way, whatever happened to the other seven? Right, they went out and spent the pound. They didn't even want to come for an accounting, I guess. They certainly didn't improve it or they'd have been there. So you got one guy that got 1,000% increase. Man, I'd like to hire that guy for an investment advisor. Amen? And the other guy that got 500%, and the other guy that got 0%, but he maintained what he had, and he's called a wicked servant. So the two things are that you must realize I must advance the kingdom of God. Number two, I must believe that he's given me the resources to do so. Okay, now just a couple things. What are you commanded to do? Well, for instance, you're commanded to win souls. You say, I don't have a personality for win souls. I realize God made a mistake. Something happened in the womb that God lost control. And you wound up with an inferior personality that couldn't possibly stand for anything right and couldn't really hold back any evil. But you see, you're the exception. All the Bible is written for everybody else. Maybe you just haven't found what strengths you've got. And maybe you've been concentrating too much on not doing wrong. You know, I wouldn't hold back anybody else from witnessing. In fact, I'll help the church. I want to take a special offering to buy some extra tracts. I'll help you that. But you can't just hold back evil. You've got to advance and take some ground back from Satan. And what I find is that a lot of folks don't believe they're equipped when God provides for what he orders. All right. One day I wrote down a list of things that the little guy can do. I'm going to read four or five of them. I'm going to ask you to add to the list. Some things that can be accomplished by the little guy. I want to lead some sinner to Christ. I'm not asked to be the most prolific soul winner. I'm not asking to have a string of scalps on my lodge pole. But I want at least one. I want to have led at least one person to Christ. And that one that gets baptized and joined the church and believes the Bible and leads somebody else to Christ. I want one convert that reproduces me. If I cared enough to go out and win somebody else's to Christ, I want my convert to go do the same. I want grandkids in the Lord, not just children. And so I want to lead some sinner to Christ. I want to restore a marriage. You know, the divorce rate among Christians, I'm told, is just about the same as it is in the world. Wouldn't it be good if you, personally, single-handedly, by caring for somebody, could keep a marriage together. That'd be a good thing. Comfort some beat-up brother. Don't you know that we're getting beat up these days? And there's going to be more of us before it's over, probably. I'd like to comfort some beat-up brother. Just had a man call me not too long ago. And I said, Pastor Kick, I'm calling you because I want you to pray for me. He says, I'm heartbroken. He says, my daughter just announced she's a lesbian. I didn't have any girls. But switch that over to the male side, that devastates any parent. That hurts. How do you treat them? Do they, you invite them for the family reunions? Where do you take the stand? What goes on there? I just about climbed a plane and flew to where that guy was and said, listen, let me spend a couple days. I'll buy you breakfast where you get all the bacon you want. Boy, that was an excellent choice of a restaurant, brother. I'll take it to somebody's house that's as good a cook as Mrs. Dietz is. And we will sit down and we will enjoy fellowship and we'll talk about things other than your burden. I went through a dark time about 12 years ago I told you about. Dave Dunbar, my good friend from Auburn, New York, came out, he and his wife, to spend a week with Alice and I. He knew I was walking around carrying my intestines because they wouldn't all fit back in. I was having gut trouble. And the week is over, and he's climbing in his car, and he pulls me off the side. He said, Preacher, I just want you to know, I don't think you've changed a bit. He says, I know you think I came out here because I'm your good friend, and I wanted to minister to you. He says, I came out here to find out whether or not the rumors were true. He gave me a big hug and said, you're the same guy you've always been. You're as big a jerk as you've ever been. And I tell you, those were words of comfort when you're hurting. All right, one or two more. Send some prodigal home. Hey? You don't have to be in a mega church to do that. You can just be an individual Christian that wants to advance the kingdom of God. Buy a Bible for some new convert. Cost you $25 maybe, maybe $50. Buy a nice Bible for a new convert. And you don't have to complain about them coming to church with the NIV. You buy them the Bible you want, they ought to have. All right, you talk to me. Tell me some things a little guy can do that would encourage you and encourage them, and it'd be not beyond your realm of vision of the supply for that thing is probably, if it's not at hand, it's close by. Okay, now all this time so far I've been speaking to you. All right, yes, sir. Yeah. Now, there you go. Has the Lord given you eyes to see that? Why do you see it? Maybe you're to help. Amen. Yes, sir. Yes. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Boy, I'd buy that 100%. It has been one of the discouraging things in my life to the high school class I was in that graduated in 1958. Yes, there was a 1958. It's actual year. And to find out how many of them are living together without benefit of marriage or are in some moral turpitude situation of one sort or another, and a rotten example when we knew better. We were trained better. I'm not sure the present generation has been trained better, but we were. And to see the stuff that's happened, I just... You've got to want to advance the kingdom of God. All right, now listen. Is it possible God's given you the grace to set a better standard? Well, then, I was talking to John Rabideau in our church. He was playing basketball for me. He's 10 years old. And John knows this, but John's a scream. He's 10 years old. He's about that tall, skinny as a rail, any basketball pants he has to have suspenders on them, or they'll slip clear down to his... He's straight. And there's no hips. His legs are about that big around. I throw the basketball to him, and it picks him up and carries him three feet, sets him on his bottom, and he looks up and says, "I caught it, preacher." Yeah, it was self-defense. So, John, if I ask the other guys on the team to jog around the block once a day, 5 days during the week, you know that you're 10 years old and just starting out. You can't dribble, you can't pass, you can't catch, you can't shoot, but you can run. What would you do? He said, "Preacher, I'll run around the block twice." Good, John. If I ask them to dribble out to the mailbox once a day and dribble back, even though the driveway's in poor shape and all that kind of stuff, he said, "I had to dribble out 3 or 4 times, preacher." See, he's got the idea, and that's what I was inquiring about. It takes some work. I have to put in some effort. John, you have a basketball? Yeah, I got a basketball. You got a driveway? Yeah, I got a driveway. His block is a half a mile by a half a mile by a half a mile by a half a mile. John, I want you to run around the block twice. You know, that's 2 miles around just once. I haven't asked him to do it twice. But the point being is that even at 10 years old, he's got the picture that if I'm going to advance, I've got to make an effort. All right, give me something else that you think the little guy can do. What can a little guy do? All right, Brother Overlander. You may not know how important it is for you to walk across the room and fellowship with somebody between Sunday school and church. You may never know. But it's the right thing to do. Yes, sir, Bryce. Yeah.
I mean, let's face it. I don't know if anybody's going to get fired for using the name of Jesus Christ as a workplace. I know I was able to use the name Jesus Christ as my workplace and pretty much canceled any chance at all of ever getting promoted.
Mm-hmm.
I was able to stand. Now, I'm not trying to say this, you know, I'm good at this. No. I morally cannot stand Sodom.
Mm-hmm. I have a little trouble with that myself.
Where I work, which is written on my shirt, is a sodomite.
Mm-hmm.
Either lesbians or queers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I got in trouble for that, but I still didn't get fired. But when somebody says, no, it's illegal to mention the name of Jesus Christ in public or on the radio or somewhere, even in the public school.
Yep. I agree with you. I have trouble with statements made like they're born that way, and then no Christian bothers to correct that thing. He just lets it sit there. You know, he's got his 1 pound, and he's going to preserve the 1 pound. We're not going to damage the pound. That's not the goal. The goal is to produce more than one. It's to advance the kingdom of God. And somewhere along the line, you're going to have to stand up for... What if it becomes in America that you've got to take sensitivity training in order to keep your job, and you've got to spend time in a whirlpool with a homosexual? Well, what are you going to do with that? Say, well, a man's got to work, doesn't he? Yeah, a man's got to please God too, doesn't he? And I'm not sure that the average Christian in America today is equipped for the kind of thing that may be coming. And that's the kind of thing that may be coming. What if you can't call inquirers anymore? What if, did you know that I happen to know a fella that knows a fella that's a chaplain in the army? And you cannot pray in the name of Jesus Christ anymore. U.S. Army chaplain. They do it, and there's a resistance movement to get to change among the chaplains themselves, the Christian chaplains. But the official regulations come down from the head of chaplains that we will not pray in Jesus' name. You ever look up chapel in the Bible? It occurs one time. And it's called the King's Chapel. Makes you kind of wonder what a guy ought to be doing in a chapel, right? When the king's in control of it. It's not the king, the Lord Jesus, the King of Kings. It's talking about the King of Israel's chapel. That's his private place to go worship. And so he controls what's said there. Well, he's doing a mighty fine job of keeping Jesus out of it these days. All right, something else a little guy can do. Yes, sir. Yeah. How much provision does the Lord have to give you to do that? I mean, man, you're not asking for the moon. You don't have to win the lottery to do that. You don't have to have those kind of finances. Those are the kind of things the little guy can do. And what's he doing? He's taking the pound that he was given and he's advancing it. Now, folks, 1,000%. Or even 500% are not what God's asking. He said, why didn't you at least put it in the bank? What do you get on a CD now? 0.75%? You should have at least done that. So that when I returned, I got my own, not doubled. I got my own with usury. It grew some. Amen, amen? That's why the Bible talks about forward a year ago. You're supposed to be forward a year ago. What? In a little thing, in the things a little guy can do. Yes, sir. On my list. Pass out one track that leads to a soul getting saved. Every once in a while, I take a look at our track rack in the lobby, and it's got far too much paper on it and not enough space. And I grab some of those and I hand 10 or 15 to each usher and I say, all right, folks, we're giving you a tract today. When you come to church, I want you to pass this thing out. We're going to pray over the tracts. Let's have a word of prayer. And we ask God and the ushers distribute the tracts. They say, all right, now you got a preacher prayed over tractor. I don't know if that's anything special or not, but it's certainly not a curse. So why don't you take that and pass it out someplace and help yourself? I know a man in Rochester, New York, that witnessed in the men's room. He would sit in a mall until somebody went in there he thought he could talk to and go stand next to him and say, hi, how you doing today? And start up a conversation. He said, I'll tell you something, there ain't a proud man standing in front of a funeral. You don't have... That kind of, now that's an unusual thing, and I'm not teaching you to be an eccentric. Okay, but Can I tell you, if you just decide to advance the kingdom of God, you're going to be strange. Okay, you're going to be a little bit weird. Yes, sir, again. Yeah. What? How much difficulty is involved in this? I got one down here. Like two of them. Help start a new church. You ever put $100 in your money and help start a new church? By the way, I'm raising money for the church we're starting in Chilton. And keep a wounded church alive. I was preaching one time. And I just threw something in about some of the difficulties I've had in the ministry, and some young man from Alabama sitting out there who had come to the meeting and saying, "Lord, if you give me a blessing, I'll stay in the ministry. But if you don't, I'm so beat up and worn out that after this meeting, I'm going to go back and resign." And I was preaching on a Friday night. He came up to me afterwards, tears in his eyes, and said, "Thank you, preacher. That sermon just bought God a preacher for another year." And I found out later he stuck it out far longer than that. You never know. Keep a wounded church alive. All right? Yes, sir? Yeah. Yeah. How difficult is that to do? I encourage our folks to give their mission giving in the offering so the missionary doesn't know what person it came from. Just so he's not tempted to, contact people privately about needs that he might have rather than pastors, which is the way I think it ought to go. But regardless of that, can I tell you, one of the things that has sparked our church is supporting a family out of our church named the Matthews that are missionaries in Brazil. Dunbar's hopefully are going to be soon going down there to join them, and we'll have the second family down there. But boy, our church is wanting to know how the Matthews are doing. Which kid are we bringing back to go to camp this year? Are they in good health, preacher? Does his car need to be fixed? What can we pray for? And it helps when you think of somebody other than yourself. Now, you can't send stuff to them. It's too... We sent a box of Shrugie's chocolates from town and stuff that we know the Matthews family would like for Christmas. Probably it wasn't $50 worth of stuff in a box, and it cost you $75 to send it. Okay, it's easier to send them the $50 and buy the chocolates you like, and send the check. But nevertheless, the idea is that if you don't purposely decide to spend it on somebody else, you will by default spend it on yourself. All right, somebody else, something the little guy can do. Yes, ma'am. Yes, go on a mission trip. Why don't you crash those desires of spending a week on Waikiki and decide to spend a week somewhere where God can get the glory? You will come back more refreshed than if you slept 12 hours a day on Waikiki Beach. I've been there. It's not all it's cracked up to be. You just need to understand that all this stuff is going to involve you having an idea and then making some effort. Can the Lord provide for this stuff? Well, some of it's, folks, so easy to believe, it's fallen off a log. Can the Lord give you grace to hand out a tract before Tuesday noon? Well, yeah, preacher. Okay, two tracts? Yeah. 10 tracts? Well, now we're pushing it. Okay, somewhere between 2 and 10 you can hand out before Tuesday afternoon with hardly... Okay, and then one day you'll stand before the Lord, and he said, "I provided you tracts, and I provided you opportunities. How did you do?" He said, "Well, I sat on it, Lord, because I didn't want the truth to be perverted." He said, "Well, I want it to be read, not sat on." Amen? Some things a little guy can do. Somebody else with an idea. Yes, ma'am. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem, the Bible says, eh? Now listen to me, ask something. Do you have time for just a little bit more prayer? Yeah, I do. All right, well, I'm not chewing you out in that regard. I'm just saying that the provision we are already prepared to believe is already there. Yes, sir. You didn't raise your hand. You're going to put your arm around your wife. When the preacher's looking for answers, don't do this. Yes, sir. Good. Yes. Hey, man, you see all these no solicitation signs allowed in restaurants and all that kind of stuff? I'm not here to solicit. I'm here to give something away. So, all right, let me see what else I got. I got no a night of tears and that joy comes in the morning. Warm in my heart is I got a hold of this idea that I may one day, when my children are small, I may one day stay up crying all night because of some bonehead play they made. Or some bonehead play I made. And so I decided to stay up all night praying for another man's son who was making some bonehead plays at the time. Can I tell you, to this day, and that was 35 years ago, to this day, it's warm in my heart that the first night I stayed up all night long to pray for somebody was another man's son. Trying to, you know, advance the kingdom, push back the darkness and all that kind of stuff. But those are the kind of things a little guy can do. Hey, by the way, who's ever stayed up all night praying for you? Interesting, isn't it? Chances are there has been somebody, and chances are you don't know who it is. But you can certainly pass that on. Give some widow hope. How hard is that? You know that gal that talked to you about your collar being out of shape during the whole message? That's Esther. Esther's 90 years old, and she is very opinionated. You set her and Bryce down, there's going to be blood under the door before... I take, every once in a while, we just call Esther up and we take her to the Chinese restaurant. She likes to go to Chinese. And we take her out for dinner. And she holds my hand and does that elderly woman thing of patting the hand that she's holding. And you know, same thing you do, I think. No, I know Esther, she's good at it. And I am 72, she's 90, so she's my mom type, you know. So every once in a while I call her mom. And she'll pat my hand. She said, "You don't know how much it means to me to be thought of." Just, amen, give a widow some hope. All right? What didn't the little guy do? How about some input for some teenagers? All right, we won't count you a teenager this morning. We'll go to the teenagers right after you. All right. Yeah. You got a set of wheels? Are all the seats full? I crashed a bus route one time, and they had the bus driver who had two cars, and he had two helpers that each had a car. That's four cars. The amount of people that they were bringing to church on the bus could have been fit in two cars, or in those four cars. And it came to me 2 weeks later and said, "Preacher, of the number of kids we have, only five of them are coming to church." I said, "Well, you know, you get four vehicles. Why don't you go run your bus route with your four cars?" "Preacher, you're not expecting me to put those grubby little kids in my car, are you?" "No, I guess not. I guess I'm not." For a minute there, I thought maybe. But and that bus route died rather than those three families putting their four cars to work on a Sunday morning. Good, you can do that. Okay, a little guy can do that. Who led Jerry Falwell to Christ? Nobody knows. He died in California about 10 years ago. He was pastor in a Baptist church of about 50 people. And that's the size church he had when Jerry got saved. Who led Billy Graham Christ? Well, he stopped into a meeting by a Baptist evangelist named Mordecai Ham in a big tent, and he sat in the back row. And the force of the gospel got him at 16 years old to Billy Graham to walk the aisle and get saved. Mordecai Ham. Who led D.L. Moody to Christ? Well, it was some fellow that D.L. Moody visited his class. He taught the young men in the church. And before the next Sunday service, he went to visit D.L. Moody in his place of worship, or place of work, which happened to be a shoe store. And he led D.L. Moody to Christ. 20 years later, D.L. Moody is preaching in Chicago. There's a young man sitting down about right here. He comes down over the platform and says, "Young man, are you a Christian?" And the young man says, "No, sir. But I think I'd like to become one." D.L. Moody said, "Well, let's get that taken care of." And he led him to Christ. Basically, he said, "Who are you?" He finds out he's the son of the man that led D.L. Moody to Christ. You know, Wild? Can you bring somebody to church? Sure you can. Who brought that young man that night? I don't know. Who brought Billy Graham to the meeting? I don't know. Who brought Jerry Falwell to church the day he got saved? Who brought your pastor to church the day he got saved? Who? You don't know. But some little guy had a piece of the action. Somebody did something, all right? Somebody else, you got time for a couple more. Yes, sir. Yeah. Pray they give you something to do. You know, that would advance the kingdom of God. Something you could rejoice over. Something that you could help some sinner along the way. Were you given the resources? Yeah, I'm given the resources. Well, then we're responsible for them, right? And we can. One of the things that discourages the saints is that they don't see God active in their life. Well, then try something a little from a different angle. Try something twice instead of once. Try passing out a few more tracts. Try witnessing a few more people. Bringing up the name of Jesus a few more times. Bringing some more folks to church. Praying some more prayers. Taking a stand at work. Whatever. You can do those things. And those are things a little guy can do that is going to make a huge, huge difference. All right? Somebody else. All right, Joseph. Yeah, you can stay clean. Live your life clean. Yes, ma'am. Disciple a new Christian. Disciple some saint to maturity. Item number 2 on my list. Disciple some saint to maturity. Brother Sadek. Here you go. Encourage the dude. Yeah, good news from a far country. Bless you. Chris? If you leave enough of them, they get tired of picking them up, I'm told, about the library. So, probably work at the grocery store, too. We had a fellow in our church one time that decided he was going to find a unique way or a unique place to pass out tracts. So between Sunday school and church, he ran over to St. Matthew's, which is about 3 blocks from our church, and tracked every car in a parking lot. So I heard from the good father. I told him, next time you do that, pass out tracts without our church name on it, all right? Here's one I got. Train another preacher boy. What are you doing for God that you're fairly good at? Faithful at church? Good giver? Eager to... Man, I got a young couple in our church that every time I say, I need somebody to serve watermelon after the church service or to have an afterglow where we have coffee and cake. I need somebody to head that up. And Mandy's hand will go up all the time. And just one of these numbers. And she's looking at her husband, and you can just tell from her, "Listen, is that all right with you?" She's got an eager spirit, but she knows what authority is. She's learning. And I don't, you know, I mean, words are hardly out of my mouth. She is so quick to volunteer that maybe one or two other hands come up and I say, why don't you folks help Mandy, if you would. She has decided that we're never going to have one of those things where the preacher has to beg for somebody to help. I'm just going to take care of it. And what a blessing. Yes, sir. How much effort does some of this stuff require? You know, write the letter to the missionary. Jay Chang is over in Cambodia, having married a white girl out of Green Bay. And it's a funny thing, man. She's 5'9" and he's 4'2". Jay's just a little guy. And but he sends pictures back of starting his Cambodian Bible Baptist Church. And he's down on the water baptizing folks, man. And what a blessing it is to tack that picture up. And one of our folks said, could I write it? Help yourself. Jay would love to hear from the fact that you saw his letter on our missionary board. And be a blessing to him. Those kind of things that just make a big, big difference. Things a little guy can do. All right, somebody else? All right, Murray? Yeah. Yeah. You know, you can provoke one another unto good works. How are you doing on your Bible study? Where in the Bible are you reading now? What kind of blessing have you got out of the Bible in the last 3 or 4 days? And the idea being that it provoke one another to good works. You're encouraging the saint. You know the topic of conversation in Green Bay, Wisconsin. I don't have to tell you what it is. You know what the topic of conversation is. I don't care if you're buying a car, going door to door, or what you're doing. You start the conversation talking about the Packers. Okay, now they happen to be my favorite football team before I ever moved there, but the idea being that it's I get asked dumb questions. Okay, I go out and preach, and here I am standing in some state, someplace else, and somebody goes, oh, you pastor in Green Bay? Yeah. Are you a Packer fan? No, I'm a Minnesota Viking fan. I try to be kind, and I look at him and say, you have to be to pastor in Green Bay. Oh, I don't know, man. I just don't know if I could. Can I tell you, those are things a little guy can do. It don't cost you much. It don't cost you much. So I talk about the Packers. I stay up on them long enough to just have a conversation so we can get to something spiritual before the kind. You got to have a conversation opener, I found. Just walking up to somebody and saying, hey, if you were to die today, you know for sure you go to heaven, is a pretty rough and bold way to start a conversation. Okay, are you a Christian? Oh, I got one. I know somebody, this actually happened. Pretend this is a Bible. And you're talking to somebody, and you drop it. And if somebody bends over to pick it up, you quick put your arm around them and say, while we're down on our knees, would you like to pray? And you go back and tell the preacher, I prayed with 10 folks. I dropped the Bible 10 times, and you know, I don't know that they prayed or they had any interest in the gospel, but you know, we had 10 decisions on visitation, preacher. 2 of them resulted in a bloody nose. it's just real weird in that kind of thing. But the point is that God's given you the wherewithal to be a witness. He's given you to the idea that you can buy a Bible, you can stand up for what's true. All right, somebody else. Remember, you were given the provision to advance the kingdom of God, not just sit on it. And He will, He'll back you up. All right, yes, sir, again. Okay. Yeah. She's not going to get out and get a shower. Yeah. To tell you the truth, if you would think about it, pray about it a little bit, you'd come up with a method probably unique to you of how to open a conversation and be a witness. I was taught the cookbook, Romans Road, and still use that from time to time, but I have found out that that's not the way to open a conversation for me. And I go much slower. My wife was on visitation with a lady, taught to win souls when we were both new converts. And we'd show up at visitation, and I'd go out and make a half a dozen calls with the fellow I was with. She'd go out and make one call with this lady. They'd stay for an hour and a half. And it would take that lady an hour to get to the gospel. And we added it up over the course of 6 weeks. And that gal averaged 2 out of 3 calls she would lead somebody to Christ because she spent the time with him. And in those 6 weeks, Alice saw 4 people saved. And in the 6 weeks I went, I saw 8 people pray. Nobody could save. And I learned right away that, wait a minute, there's something wrong with this cookbook approach. Got to slow that thing down. Yes, sir? Well, it's like the man said, outside the box sometimes is a method that God needs for that person. I'll tell you one. Pastor that I baptized, Alice and I, on June 1st, 1969, had a public school principal in his church. And he went to his house to lead him to Christ. And the man said, well, I've been waiting for you. My wife told me she's coming to church. And if she does that, you're probably going to stop by. So I just want you to know, preacher, I've studied up on my evolution. I've studied up on my educational philosophies. Where do you want to start? And the preacher said, well, I didn't come to argue with you. He said, well, man, I didn't spend all this time in preparation for nothing. Let's at least have some sort of discussion or other. And the preacher started to cry. And the fellow said, what's up with you? He said, sir, I come here because I care for your soul. I didn't come here to argue with you. And the guy listened to the plan of salvation and got saved. I've never been able to do that. It's just not my approach. I can shed some tears, but I've never been able to do that in front of a lost sinner. I'd be manufacturing the tears in order to duplicate what my preacher did. But at least he thought outside the box, amen? And, I mean, a guy got saved then. Tremendous witness for Christ he became. Some things for the little guy to do. I got 2 minutes. All right? Mr. Darling. Yeah. Yeah, put a bumper sticker. Change the sign out in front of the church. Mow the grass. Reduce some complicated thought to easy terms. Help some younger person clean up after his Tower of Babel falls. No real revival in my own heart. Preach a message that makes a difference in somebody else's life. See someone healed in answer to prayer. Stop the mouth of some gainsayer, Bryce. There's one for you. Stop the mouth of some gainsayer. Well, they need to be stopped, don't they? They need to be confronted. Be sweet on some kid's memory. I went to church in the Methodist Church for 29 years, starting from a baby on until I was 29 years old. Nobody ever offered me a piece of candy. Behind my pulpit, the First Bible Baptist Church, is a box specially decorated. It's about that long. It's about 6 inches wide. It's about 6 inches deep. full of candy. And after the church service, I'm walking around with that box and walking up to some 10-year-old kids here, we'd like a piece of candy. What is that? I want to be sweet on some kid's memory. I want him to know that that's the preacher that used to give out the candy. Can I tell you, he's 10 years old. He's not going to be listening to what I'm saying. He hadn't got it. Little Silas Dunbar is 6. And going home the other day, he let his parents know that he didn't like preachers preaching. And they turned around and said, Silas, why? He said, everybody's a sinner, Mama, and I'm not a sinner. 6 years old, and he's already got it, eh? I mean, he's aware of the fact of what preaching is supposed to do. But are you going to church next Sunday, Silas, even though you don't like preachers? Yeah, I'm going to go get my piece of candy. See more things from God's point of view. Financially encourage some missionary. Love the Lord and prove it. Not just say it. Teach some class, visit some prisoner. Well, let's have a word of prayer. We'll ask God to make His provisions for the things the little guy can do obvious to us, so we're motivated to do. Lord, help us. We are encumbered about with the daily obligations, the wear and tear of life, and Lord, our vision gets cloudy. We forget and can't recognize sometimes the provision that You've made in our life for us to be a blessing. Something, some little thing that could remake our day, that over the course of a week would make a good week, and over the course of a month would make a good month, and over the course of a year we would be forward a year ago, and over the course of a lifetime would put much satisfaction when we stand before You and give an account of the provision You gave to us. Lord, may we not squander it on ourselves. May we not sit on it and do nothing. May we invest the provisions You give us back into Your kingdom, that we might hear those words one day, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Well, thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You are dismissed.